FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is February 13th, 2017. Well, you've been watching the reaction to President Trump's executive order about immigration, the lawsuits, the Grammys. Who could miss the Grammys? Agent Orange. I guess that's a reference to President Trump's skin condition known as rosacea. Well, got a special guest today, the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. You've seen him. No doubt you're familiar with him on Fox, CNN, all over. Hey, Reverend, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, well, it's a pleasure. And we've seen you for so many years. Never thought you'd grace the show with your appearance. Really, you're such an incredible person, a real voice for reason, for traditional values in the country. I mean, what you've done with Bond and so many other things. I mean, something like the traditional nuclear family as being the bedrock of really success for individuals, for moving ahead and for really becoming something in society. Who would think that would be controversial? But we're talking now about immigration and how to handle that, what the proper way is. We've seen this outcry. What's your take on it? Is this sincere, or is this just more anti-Trump hoopla that the media loves to indulge in?
Well, you know, since the early 90s, we have been fighting to get something done about illegal aliens coming in into our countries, especially across the borders. We've been trying to get the government to put a wall up, because these illegal aliens are coming in and they're hurting the country overall, but especially the black community first, in that they're bringing in crimes, they're bringing drugs. You have gang members who are coming in from across the borders and they are being supported by the drug lords. And as a result, they are pushing black Americans out of their own neighborhoods. The public schools are overcrowded. The hospitals where a lot of these black women are having these children out of wedlock, and so they're getting free medical care, but when they go to have a baby, for example, at a hospital, they have to wait in long lines because of the illegal aliens who were there first. And I just think that it's a shame that prior to President Trump, no other government was willing to do anything about that. And so to hear these liberals who hate good, who hate God, who hate men, carrying on like this, it's a shame. And they're only doing it for the votes, especially the Democrats. They're doing it, and the liberal media, they're doing it for the vote. They don't care about the people at all. Everything that these people do is about politics and not the people. And they have proven over and over and over and over again that they do not care about black Americans at all. And it's black people who have kept the Democratic Party going for years. And yet it's black people who are suffering the most, and first and foremost, by illegal aliens coming into this country.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point that you raise. Elizabeth Warren, she's going up against Jeff Sessions' nomination in the Senate. And finally, they basically shut her up. And she's reading a letter from Coretta Scott King. But there was another letter from Coretta Scott King that she chose not to read. And that was one condemning illegal immigration and its effects, its negative effects upon the black community and employment. And I'll give you a perfect example, Reverend. In South Florida, where I live, all the construction projects here used to be blacks, African Americans, however you want to refer, all blacks on these projects. Now you don't see one black person working on a construction project down here. It's all Hispanics. Now, I don't know what their immigration status is. I don't have any authority to check it, but I would venture to say a portion of these people are in this country illegally, and they're working at a fraction of perhaps the minimum wage, or perhaps the wage that these prior workers, black Americans, were working on. And nobody seems to care about this except Donald Trump.
That's right. And that's happening in Los Angeles as well. Here in L.A., you could drive down to South Central L.A., where many Blacks are living, even though the Hispanics are taking over now. But most Blacks are living there. And yet, when you drive around, as you said, construction sites, it's Hispanics and not Blacks. Once every blue moon, you see one or two Blacks. But for the most part, it's Hispanics. You can go to McDonald's and other fast food restaurants, and you see Hispanics. You don't see Black people working. And people like Maxine Waters and others have been over that district forever. And she doesn't care. And she's a Black woman. She doesn't care about Blacks in that area. She just lied to them about this phony ideal of racism, which doesn't exist. But she lied to keep them angry in order to get their votes. But she can care less about the safety or the education or whatever's happened to or the crime or anything that's coming up on Black people. And Blacks have enough problems of their own down in those areas with Black gangs, remember the Crips and the Bloods and others, but it's getting worse as a result. And these Democrats do not care less. Thank God for Donald Trump, President Trump. I believe he's going to bring on a change for the good.
Yeah, so we deport some of these illegals, especially the criminal ones. Well, Mayor de Blasio of New York City said that driving drunk by an illegal alien is a minor offense for which they shouldn't be deported. Yet, if an American does it, they should be tossed in jail. I don't understand that attitude.
Yeah, it's all about the vote and not the people. The Democrats don't care about the people who vote for them. In Chicago, this year alone, there have been at least 400 shootings or more. There was a report over the weekend that two young girls, Black girls, one 11 and one 12, one is waiting in a car. She was shot. Another one walking home from school, I believe, she was shot. And you don't hear an outcry about that from any Black leaders.
No.
As a matter of fact, Barack Obama was in the White House for 8 years. He's from Chicago. And he's supposed to be Black and white, but he identified mostly with being Black. Barack Obama did nothing to make the situation better in Chicago. But instead, he brought in refugees and more illegal aliens' children, everybody and their mama. They did nothing. And Obama had the power of the United States behind him, the military, the National Guards, the police departments, and he did nothing to improve the lives. And when it comes to gang violence and drugs in those areas, matter of fact, in Chicago, it went up under the fall of Messiah rather than going down.
Yeah, exactly right. And then you look at somebody like Mayor Giuliani, who really was instrumental bringing down the murder rate in New York from 2000 down to 500-600, which is still too many. And it's continued to fall since. And he was vilified by the Black community and Hillary Clinton for police brutality and several questionable killings that took place by the police department in the course of their duties, for which the officers were tried. He got no credit for saving probably thousands of Black lives during his tenure. None whatsoever.
That's right.
None.
Exactly. And because they want this idea of racism to exist in order to gain power and wealth. They know that if Blacks and Hispanics and others start thinking for themselves, realizing that the Democrats are not in support of them, that they would go out of business. And so people like Rudy Giuliani, when he stands up and help the communities, they don't want that to be known. They try to get rid of that because it might cause Black people and others to become independent. And that's why they're trying to delegitimize President Trump. They're calling him a racist. He hates women, they say. He hates the Mexicans. They say he hates everybody because he will be effective in a good way. And they don't want that credit. They don't want him to do that. They don't want him to get that type of recognition for fear of going out of business.
Hey, so Trump threatens to send the feds, as he says, into Chicago. If he does this, and he's successful in bringing down the murders and shootings, which I believe he will be, because he'll probably bring in Giuliani and Bratton and a number of others who were successful in New York. He'll bring in the best people, something that Trump is an expert at doing. What's going to happen when the murder rate comes down? How are the race baiters, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, what are they going to say then? Oh, it was demographics. It was the trend. The shootings were going to come down on their own, right? This is what they're going to say, right? To marginalize them.
That is so true. They'll do everything but give the credit to President Trump. And plus, you know, when he does, take the drugs out, the criminals out, the criminal element of that community, it's going to give other black people a chance to start living. They can finally breathe. They can start small businesses again. They can have decent schools. Donald Trump will get the credit and from those folks, and then he's going to get those votes. And that's a nightmare to the Democrats. It's a nightmare to the liberals, including the liberal media. You know, I have a new book out called The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. And in that book, I prove that racism has never existed. It does not exist. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And this whole idea about racism is an illusion. That's why we have not been able to solve the problem, because we're trying to solve something that does not exist. Black Americans are not suffering due to racism, but the destruction of the family and the lack of moral character. And these people know that, but they keep them in a demoralized state of being, because you can't control a moral people. You have to demoralize them. And they know that. And that's why they don't want the truth to be told.
Jesse, in the 1960s, the number of children growing up in black homes with fathers, it was 85%. And 15 without. Now it's the opposite.
Yes.
How did this happen? How do we solve this problem? Because if we can solve this problem, the rest of the problems will solve themselves. Agreed?
That's right. 100%. And you're right about that. And what happened, long story short, under Lyndon B. Johnson and the so-called civil rights leaders, they decided that the government was going to take care of the people. And they used this false illusion of racism. And they said to the black people, we're going to take care of you. The government will take care of you because the white man is keeping you down. Racism is hurting you. But you can't have a father in the homes. And so many blacks agreed to that, and they left their homes or pretended not to be there and allowed the government to become the daddy of the family and the so-called corrupt race hustler leadership to become the head of the people. And it's just been downhill ever since. And the reason that happened in such a destructive manner, whenever you remove the father from the family, you leave a void. You take the protection away, the spiritual order away. You take the love away from the family, and the evil can come in and take over women and children, the woman and the children, because you don't have the protection of the fathers. There is a spiritual order to life, whether we know it or not, accept it or not, believe it or not, live it or not. And that order is God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, and woman over children. When you remove that father, you remove the Christ from the home. And then the government, the liberal media, and the race hustling so-called leaders can come in and take over and just demoralize and destroy the people. And that's what's going on. And it's not going to change until we can get men to return back to their natural state of being and love God with all their heart, soul, and might, get married, and fathers and mothers raise their children, guide them by being a good example. The way it was, as you mentioned, prior to the civil rights movement, I grew up under Jim Crow laws down in Alabama. I remember for colors only signs, for whites only signs, and we did not have this mess going on. We didn't have less than 10% of black children born out of wedlock then. For the most part, blacks got married. It was an embarrassment to have children out of wedlock. They got married. And so once that family order broke, you have what you see now in this country.
Yeah. And by no means is it just in the black community. It's in all races, but particularly hard hit.
Yes.
The black community.
Well, it's starting to happen to the white man, too, because the white man is under attack. They accuse the white man of being racist. They say he hate women. He hate children. You know, he hate the blacks. He hate the Hispanics. And what they're trying to do is turn him away from his family so that they can go in and take over the women and children and do exactly to them what they have done to the black family. That's why they hate President Trump so much. One of the reasons is that President Trump is a real man. And they hate masculinity. President Trump is not afraid to stand up. And when you attack him, he's going to attack back. He's not a coward.
Yeah.
He is an independent man. He's free. And they hate that more than God hates sin. And so they're attacking white men. And if they're able to wipe out the white man and demoralize his family, it's really over for the country.
Yeah.
It's just done.
So the book is The Antidote to Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. And God, everybody's a victim in America today. Doesn't it seem that way? I mean, they teach courses in it in college. I mean, you can major in victimology, it seems, Jesse. Really?
It used to be embarrassing to present yourself as a victim. People would laugh at you for being so weak. Now it's like you're honored for being weak, for being a victim.
Yeah.
It's promoted, but it's a disgrace. It's really,
really,
it's evil. If I can, I want people to check out my website.
Please.
They can go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com, and see what we're doing. We've been around for 27 years now, and I think they like what we're doing.
Yeah, well, hey, your efforts really in the right place, and we urge everybody to go to your site. We will have a link to your site in our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We applaud your efforts and urge everybody to go out, check out your book and your website, Jesse. Been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. It was an honor being on with you, and I'd be happy to come back at any time.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.